Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of faith and power. So we've been studying what salvation is not, exposing the myths concerning salvation. What exactly is salvation? We've seen this in scriptures, and then we're exposing what salvation is not. Hallelujah. The Bible is a book on a subject, the subject of salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible is a book about one man, the person of Christ. Luke 24, 27, Jesus walked them through scriptures, beginning at Moses. Through all the scriptures, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. The Bible is a book about one man, Christ the Savior, a book about one subject, salvation, which is what Jesus came to do, the salvation of the Savior. Hallelujah. So it demands a careful consideration. It demands paying attention to it. It demands, you know, giving heed. Like the writer of Hebrews will say, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip away. For if the word spoken by angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive the just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hallelujah. So great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Hallelujah. So salvation is something Bible says we must give the more earnest heed unto. Hallelujah. We must give the more earnest heed. In fact, when Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The word neglect there means to treat with negligence. It means to make light of something. Hallelujah. To make light of something. So salvation is a subject that demands a careful attention. The eternities of men are hinged on this revelation. Whether a man will be saved or not is based on whether he comprehends, whether he accepts, comprehends, and understands this reality, this truth. Glory to Jesus. So it demands a careful consideration because its impact on the lives of men is very grave. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, the impact and the consequence is grave. Glory be to Jesus. If you believe it, you are saved. If you do not believe it, you are not saved. This is why it is very important that we study salvation continually and find out the truth concerning it from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Yesterday, in the last episode, we began to see the implications of believing a false message. The implications. And I showed you that the first implication is that you stand the risk of being a false convert. Hallelujah. There are lots of people who are in the church who are not in Christ. There are lots of people who have met the church religion. They've not met Jesus because of the gospel they heard. Hallelujah. You stand the risk of becoming a false convert. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-2. Paul mentions how that if men have not believed the truth of the word of God, then they have believed in vain. And we saw how that the word in vain, they actually means to believe without a cause, without a reason. To be inconsiderable. That is, what you paid attention to was not the reality, was not the truth of the word of God. And because of that, you believed in vain. Hallelujah. So it is very important to ascertain the message you have heard, because you stand the risk of being a false convert if what you have believed is not the gospel of Christ. Number two, we saw how that you never walk in assurance of salvation. You never walk in assurance of salvation, and that means you will never be stable as a Christian. We saw at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 to 9, that the only thing that bets stability in our walk with God, in our walk with Christ, is the knowledge of what Christ has done, which is called the grace of God. Acts 13, 8 to 9, Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So that means Jesus is consistent. Jesus is constant. Because of this, his message, his doctrine, his gospel is also constant. Verse 9, therefore, because of this, do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the earth be established by grace. Have you seen? So the only thing that bets stability is sound doctrine. The knowledge of Christ, the grace of God. This is the same thing Paul expressed at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15, when he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him which is the head, Christ. Every wind of doctrine. Hallelujah. That's a metaphorical expression because it's describing the effect of these doctrines of men. So because the doctrines of men toss people to and fro, he calls it wind of doctrine. The same way the wind tosses a leaf or a boat or a ship, anything, to and fro. That's the same way the doctrines of men, the doctrines of devils, toss men to and fro. There are certain Christians who have never been stable for a day because of the kinds of messages they're exposed to. Hallelujah. So you will never walk in assurance. You never walk in assurance of your salvation because you will never be stable as a Christian. Your belief, your persuasion would waver from time to time. And because you would be unstable, it will prevent you from growing up spiritually. Hallelujah. That's another implication of believing a false gospel. Let's assume you got saved by the truth, and then you now begin to pay attention to teachings that are far from the truth, teachings that negate the facts of redemption, teachings that contradict the stance, Bible stance concerning salvation. You will fail to grow as a Christian. You will not grow. You will struggle to grow in the Christian faith. Hallelujah. Because what brings spiritual maturity to the believer is the knowledge of the Word of God. The same salvation message you received expounded in the epistles, hallelujah, expounded to us in the epistles, the realities that have come our way by virtue of our faith in Christ Jesus, those are the things to feed on. Those are the things that birth spiritual maturity. Peter calls it sincere milk of the word. That is, the truth of the word of God unadulterated. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. What brings spiritual maturity is called the sincere milk of the word. Hallelujah. Of course, that's also a metaphor. Just like babies, metaphor, sincere milk. That is the milk that they draw from their mother. That pure milk that is not adulterated. There's nothing mixed with it. There's no preservative. There's nothing. Do you understand? Pure milk, natural. In its essence, that's the kind of thing. So he likens the word of God to sincere milk. That is the truth unadulterated, not mixed with human, you know, mixtures with human wisdom, human tradition and commandment or philosophy. God's word in its pure form. Purity of doctrine. This is what brings spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. This is what brings spiritual maturity. So you'll be hindered from growing in the faith if you focus on a false gospel. If you focus on the wrong message concerning salvation. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Glory to Jesus. Colossians in chapter 2. I'll read from verse 6. Colossians 2. From verse 6. Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Have you seen? The same way you received the Lord Jesus, continue in him. How did we receive the Lord Jesus? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. The way we received Christ was by hearing the gospel. He says we should continue in him the same way. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as we have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That is the same gospel that we received is what we must continue in. That's why verse 8 is a caution, is a word of warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't let anybody cheat you. So what happens to you when you begin to focus on other things apart from the truth of redemption? He says you are going to be cheated. Hallelujah. You are going to be cheated. You are going to be spoiled. Glory to Jesus. From verse 1 of chapter 2, it already shows you the reason why you must not shift your gaze away from Christ. Because in Christ dwells the fullness of God. From verse 1, it says, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, you find all the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. When he says in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, it's in a context. It's not all kinds of knowledge, scientific knowledge, knowledge of business, knowledge of commerce, industry. No, a particular, a specific knowledge. Hallelujah. The knowledge of God. And this is why he calls it the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, at verse 2. Hallelujah. In fact, in the previous chapter, verse 27, he already defines and explains what the mystery is. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Him we preach, verse 28. So, the mystery of God, if you are conversant with the use of the word mystery in the New Testament, you discover that the mystery of God refers to the revelation of what Jesus has done for you and I. Hallelujah. And then, so, Paul is saying at chapter 2 that this is the only thing that brings spiritual maturity. This is the only way you are going to be rooted and built up in Him. It is as you fix your gaze on these realities. It's as you keep beholding Christ. Hallelujah. And you are wary of philosophy of men, and you are wary of the traditions of men. This is the only way you will grow in the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. And verse 9 says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Again gives you a reason why you must fix your gaze and stay with Christ. In Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. So beholding Christ is beholding your completeness. Taking your gaze off Christ is taking your gaze off your completeness and blessedness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And the only way you are going to grow is to focus your mind on your blessedness in Christ. That which has been done and accomplished. Glory to Jesus. Now, if you focus your mind on trying to restrain from sin, refrain from sin, restrain yourself from sin and all, you see, you are never going to grow as a Christian. There is more to the Christian faith than trying to not sin. There is more to the Christian faith than trying to not commit adultery, commit fornication, and all that. See, all that is good, but it's a byproduct of spiritual maturity. It's as a man begins to grow in the knowledge of Jesus that is able to stay away from the works of the flesh. That is able, in fact, the Bible calls it a walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. So then, walk in the Spirit. I say to you then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this means that the aim is not to not sin. The aim is to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It is not about trying to refrain from sin. It's about walking in the Spirit. And the only way you're going to walk in the Spirit is you fix your mind, your gaze on the truth concerning you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't go around trying to not conform to the world. That's going to be the wrong way around it. Hallelujah. That's going to be the wrong approach. It is not by trying to not conform to the world. It's by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you are not renewing your mind, you conform to the world. If you are renewing your mind, you will not conform to the world. If you are trying to not be conformed to the world without renewing your mind, you will still conform to the world. Praise God. So it's about paying attention to the realities that have come away in Christ. You see, this is Bible prescription for spiritual maturity. The man that will grow is the man that will fix his gaze on what Jesus has done. Philemon 1:6, Bible says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication is not referring to the act of sharing your faith. The word communication there is the word koinonia in the Greek, the same word translated fellowship. So that the fellowship of your faith, that is the life you have come to share in Christ Jesus, that it may become effective. The word effective there means that it may become active and operative. Glory to Jesus. How does the new life find expression? How does the new life begin to find expression, becomes active? Hallelujah. Through you. How does it begin to operate? Bible says by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledging there is the word epignosis, which means to have a full understanding, a full grasp. It means to have a full recognition and discernment, to know these things thoroughly. Hallelujah. You see, it's not just about having these realities etched in your memory. I taught this in my local church on Sunday. It's not just about having it etched in your memory and then you studied it somewhere. It's about having this truth of God's word dominate your mind, your thinking, your consciousness. Glory to Jesus. It must take root. It must take root within you. It becomes your dominant thought. It becomes what rules you, what governs you. Hallelujah. Epignosis. A total understanding and discernment, full recognition of these realities. Bible says that is what makes your faith become effective. That's what makes your faith becomes operative. Active. Hallelujah. That is how your faith, your new life finds expression in Christ Jesus. And this is another way to express the idea of spiritual maturity. So there's a particular knowledge. There is a particular diet that brings spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. And if you don't focus on these realities, you will not grow in the Christian faith. You'll be hindered from making progress in the Christian faith. You find Christians who are struggling to live the life. Hallelujah. Find Christians who are struggling. Hallelujah. Struggling to live. They can't make sense out of anything. Glory to Jesus. Still living in fear, living in doubt, living in all kinds of, you know, funny things. Christians who are struggling to live for Jesus. Christians who are still battling all kinds of strange desires and all that. They are being slain by it. You know, once in a while you get tempted, things come to your mind and you wave them off. But I'm talking about people who temptation is more like a natural habitation. Just because of what they are feeding on. You see, most times we bombard people with rules, laws, regulations. We've seen earlier on in these teachings how that the law only strengthens the motion of sin. The law strengthens the motion of sin. The law does not put an end to sinful desires. It only empowers them. Glory to Jesus. So there's a diet for spiritual maturity. The idea is not to focus on trying to live free of sin or trying to live free of sinful habits. The idea is about focusing on Jesus. Is that you fix your gaze on Christ, you are distracted from every other thing. You are distracted from the flesh as you fix your gaze on the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. That's the approach that works. It's not by trying to break free from anything. It's by fixing your gaze on Christ, knowing that in Christ Jesus, you are broken free from sin ultimately. In Christ Jesus, the freedom and the liberty has come. You are not trying to overcome. You already overcame. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Whatever is born of God has overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. So victory is yours already. Fix your gaze on learning this victory. Fix your mind. Give your time wholeheartedly to learning about this victory in Christ Jesus, then you walk in the same. Glory be to God. You walk in the same. There's a diet for spiritual maturity. Acts of Apostles, chapter 20, verse 32. Acts of Apostles 20, 32. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, so then, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. There's a particular knowledge that is able to build up. He calls it the word of his grace. It is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So God's word, the word of his grace. What is the word of his grace? The word of his grace is a revelation of all that Jesus has done for you and I. A revelation of the finished work of Christ. What Jesus accomplished for us, that which is ours by virtue of our faith in him, that is the word of his grace. Bible says this is what is able to build you up. So if you are not being built up in the faith, you must check, you must pay attention to what you are receiving. Most likely, what you are receiving is faulty. What we feed on as believers matters so much that Paul's prayers for the saints are about knowledge. Hallelujah. The prayer of Paul for the saints are about knowledge. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 16. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 16. Paul was praying for the saints to know and to comprehend that which is theirs in Christ Jesus. He was praying for the saints, all of us, that we might know. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me even start from verse 15. The Bible says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us in Christ Jesus, toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Have you seen? So he's praying for revelation knowledge, that our eyes will be enlightened, that the eyes of understanding be enlightened. Glory to Jesus. That we may know. You know why? Because it's by knowing, It's by comprehending that which Christ has done, that which is ours in Christ Jesus, we'll be able to walk worthy of God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. It is the knowledge of Christ that bets the right walk. Glory to Jesus. The knowledge of Christ is what bets a walk in the Spirit. Colossians in chapter 1, I'll read from verse 9. Bible says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what makes us walk worthy of the Lord is being filled with all knowledge and spiritual understanding. Glory to Jesus. So when Bible says in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's not by renewing your mind with all kinds of knowledge. It's not just by thinking positive thoughts. The renewal of the mind is being filled with all knowledge and spiritual understanding in Christ. Hallelujah. And this is what makes us walk worthy of the Lord. So if you fix your attention or you focus your mind on things that are not the gospel, on things that are not the truth, on messages that are false, you will be struggling to walk worthy of God. You'll be struggling to bear fruit in Christ. Hallelujah. Because the only thing that makes us walk worthy of the Lord is the knowledge of his will. Spiritual understanding, knowledge of his will, in all wisdom. Hallelujah. In fact, Paul at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 makes us realize that the Spirit of God was given to us that we may know the things that have been freely given to us in Christ. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, I'll start from verse 9. Bible says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Have you seen? We have been given the Spirit of God to know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Because knowing the things that have been freely given to us by God is the only way we are going to walk according to the knowledge of God. We are going to walk worthy of God. That's the only way we are going to grow and mature in the Christian faith. That's the only way to be established, to find stability in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. So, it's essential to focus on the truth. It's essential to study salvation according to scriptures. It's essential to know the word of God, to know the truth of God concerning salvation, because this is the only way to grow spiritually. And the man that does not know the truth of God's word as he ought to, the man that does not study salvation and understand it well, is a man that will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. He's the man that will never grow up in the Christian faith. Glory be to God. The man will never grow. He will be struggling all his life to live for Jesus. Back to Ephesians. Look at chapter 3. Paul's prayers were prayer for knowledge, revelation knowledge, that we may know that which is ours, so we can act out who we are in Christ Jesus. Knowledge precedes actions. Glory to Jesus. Knowledge precedes actions. It is knowledge that bets actions. What you know is what you live by. Glory to God. So if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, you cannot walk as you are in Christ Jesus. If you don't know who God has made you, if you don't know what you have in Christ Jesus, you'll never be able to take actions in that direction. So knowledge is what bets actions. That's why knowledge is crucial. Hallelujah. Knowledge is so crucial to effectiveness in the Christian faith. Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God. Ephesians in chapter 3. Look at this. Paul is praying prayer of knowledge. Prayer for knowledge. Prayer for us to comprehend. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the God, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. May be able to do what? Comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Have you seen? Again, he's praying for us to comprehend, to know the depth, the breadth, the width, the height of the love of God that passes understanding. This speaks of redemption. This speaks of salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it is as we know these things, we're able to walk effectively as Christians. Glory be to God. So for everyone out there struggling, trying to live the Christian life, and you're not living the Christian life as you ought to, and you're struggling, well, you may just have to appraise what you have come to believe as the gospel. Hallelujah. You may have to begin to appraise the diet you are feeding on, your spiritual diet as a Christian. Hallelujah. Now you're out there, this is a peculiar case. You're out there, you say, well, I've known these things, I've heard these things, realities in Christ, but I'm still struggling. I mean, the habits are still all over me. I'm still struggling to pray. Two things. Number one, you need to be trained by somebody. Glory to Jesus. The Christian faith is not a faith where we are lone rangers and then everybody is just for himself. Hallelujah. God has set in the body men to equip the saints for the work of ministry, men to equip and bring men to maturity in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:11-12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Have you seen? So he has set men in the body for the maturity of the saints. Jesus gave instruction to Peter before ascending. He said to him, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. Glory to Jesus. At Acts 20, the man Paul will give instruction to the elders at Ephesus. Acts 20, look at this carefully. Acts 20, glory to God. So you need to pay attention to training. Training goes beyond just being taught God's word. Training is all about, it's all encompassing. So training is not just about somebody feeding with knowledge. There's somebody that makes you pray. Hallelujah. There's somebody that holds prayer meetings and keeps you accountable in praying. Keeps you accountable. Somebody keeps you accountable for evangelism. So meetings are set, structures are put in place, and you are kept accountable. That's training. So there are many people who say they have known these things, but they have not joined the sound local church. They've not gone to places where they can be really trained and taught and brought to maturity effectively. And then they keep saying, well, I know these things, but my life is not bearing fruit. The problem is that you know these things, they're in your memory, you're excited about them, but you're not submitting to training in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not submitting to training in Christ Jesus. Acts 20, look at this. Verse 28, Bible says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, to shepherd the flock of God. Have you seen? To shepherd. So there are people responsible for shepherding, for feeding the flock of God. At Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, God speaking through the prophet, he says, I'll give you shepherd according to my own heart. The word shepherd, there's the word pastors. You have other translations says, I'll give you pastors according to my own heart. I'll give you shepherds according to my own heart who will feed you with knowledge. Glory to Jesus. Who will feed you with knowledge. For many people, the problem is that they are not being fed with the truth of God's word. Some people are just too proud and arrogant. Say, I cannot do it all by myself. Who told you? The wisdom of God is that he has set men over you. He has appointed men to feed you with the truth of the word of God. And if you are too proud and arrogant to join a local church where you are going to be taught effectively in Christ Jesus and trained, you will never grow in the Christian faith. You never grow. Hallelujah. So the second thing is that as you are being taught, as you are being trained, you continue in the training yourself. James chapter 1, look at this now. Because anytime consistency meets sound doctrine, there would always be spiritual growth. Anytime that consistency meets sound doctrine, there will always be spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. So for many people who claim to have met the truth of God's word, yet are struggling as though they have never met it, the only thing missing in their lives is consistency. Hallelujah. Consistency. James chapter 1, I'll read from verse 21. Therefore lay aside every filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So the man that is a doer of the word is the man that continues to look into the perfect law of liberty. The man that will do the word is the man that will keep looking into the word. Hallelujah. Because it is the word that makes you a doer of the word. You don't become a doer of the word by taking a casual gaze into it once in a while and then going to try to act it out. No, you feed on the word of God, you take a look into it, a purposeful gaze. You are consistent in gazing into the word of God till it prompts a walk. Hallelujah. If you think about the word of God like food, you would understand this very easily. That a man doesn't eat once in a while and then struggles to go and grow. A man eats till feeding brings growth. You feed till feeding brings maturity. Hallelujah. So you don't feed and try to go and mature yourself. You feed till it prompts maturity all by itself. So your duty is to continue to gaze into it. Continue to feed every day. Hallelujah. Every day you are exposing your mind, yourself to sound doctrine. Spiritual maturity is inevitable this way. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, your colleagues, your family members, relatives, classmates, everyone. Put on your social media status and, you know, let's just come together again to have a great time in the word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and see you in the next episode.